He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Wednesday. We got a nice blast off here this morning in the market. It's the Wednesday version of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager, Bill Gunderson of Southport Capital. I got to get used to saying that. Right now we've got the Dow up 74 points. Hey, it was above 35,000 this morning for the first time, I want to say ever, but it couldn't hold it, all right? It's all about the close. And right now that 35,000 definitely acting as a resistance, a ceiling that the Dow has to poke its head through here. Eventually, the Dow up 74 to 34,963. The S&P hitting a new high today, up 16 to 43.85. The NASDAQ hitting a new high, closing in on 15,000. It's up 95 right now to 14,774. Apparently calming words from the Fed this morning, dovish words from the Fed this morning. I've got the market all excited. The Russell 2000, the small caps, really having a poor performance on a relative basis here. Over the last several weeks, the Russell 2000's up just 3 points to 22.42. Oil backing off a little bit. They finally have a deal in OPEC. They are going to increase, open up the spigot a little bit more. Oil's down 49 cents to 74.76. Gold's got a little lift underneath it here today, moving up to 18.30. Silver's got some lift, up 24 cents. You get a hotter than expected CPI yesterday and PPI today. And the bond market backing off on Powell's comments, 1.37, while Bitcoin is up $376 to $32,901. So welcome to the Best Stocks Now show on this Wednesday with professional money manager Bill Gunderson. Well, you know, yesterday, let's go back. I want to go back to yesterday. There was quite a few stocks that caught my eye, even though the markets were down. You know, after the market's a weighing machine, and it had to weigh back and forth, it went yesterday, weighing that hotter than expected CPI inflation report coming in at 5.4%, hottest number since 2008. Good day for the oil patch yesterday. That was one of the stars. The FANG stocks were up after that CPI report, then they kind of faded at the end of the day. And I've got a theory on those FANG stocks that I want to put forth here in a bit. And a couple of the credit card stocks, MasterCard and Visa. Visa was the breakout of the day yesterday, symbol V. And the big HMOs did pretty good, United Healthcare. Starbucks broke out yesterday, and Upwork, which was a star during the COVID and the work from home craze. Those were the stars of the day yesterday. The home builders continue to be very, very weak, one of the worst groups. The dry bulk stocks, shipping, they've really backed off here recently. And the teledoc type stuff, telemedicine stocks, they're having a really poor year. I'm glad that I cashed in earlier this year on some big gains in that space, but we did have all-time highs yesterday in the Dow, the S&P 500, the NASDAQ, and we may be on our way to new all-time highs again today. 35,000, kind of the magic number right now for the Dow. That's proving to be resistance. Looking at Bitcoin, I'm seeing a death cross on the ETF, or what is it? It's not an ETF. It's a holding company, something like that, GBTC. which holds Bitcoin. It's really the only quasi-ETF out there on Bitcoin. I'm seeing a death cross, the 50-day crossing below the 200-day. That's not good from a technical point of view. I'm seeing some strength again in big tech. Not little tech, big tech. Apple and Google today. And a few biotechs doing well here today. And the oil stocks doing fairly well again so far today. And, of course, Jerome Powell had something to say about that hotter-than-expected inflation report, which he denies, you know, it's hotter-than-expected, and we continue to hear the word transitory. Goldman Sachs disagrees. Their big market, one of their big market analysts, we'll get to that here in a little bit. Yesterday we had auction weakness with the, I think it was the 5-year treasuries, the 30-year auction, very weak. That put interest rates this morning, we were up to 1.43 around in there. And then after Jerome Powell spoke, that those interest rates backed down back to 1.37. The yield curve has been flattening. After the core CPI came in, actually it was a 30-year high, a 30-year high, wow, on the consumer price index, and we'll be watching that very closely. We got the PPI today that the 30-year came at 2%. That seems to be the support level. The bad news is we're not out of the woods yet with this inflation scare, according to Bank of America economist Alexander Lynn. In other words, it's not in the rearview mirror yet, and we can't say, see, it was transitory. It was just a little temporary thing. It's going away. No, we can't say that yet, can we? Because today we got the PPI, the Producer Price Index, and it came in hot also. The PPI rose to 7.3% in June. Wow. That's the input. That's the ingredients to make things. The Producer Price Index, the producers that produce things, the cost of goods rising. The Producer Price Index comes in at 7.3% after yesterday's 5.4% PPI print. So you're seeing a little bit of a lift in the gold market today, finally. It's kind of ignored all of this inflation so far. But it is waking up a little bit today. And it's the rest of the world is watching U.S. inflation. In fact, it weighed on the global stock markets overnight. China down 1%, Japan, Hong Kong all down, Europe all down a little bit on U.S. inflation fears. We have not said that for a long, long time. We also have kind of an agreement. The U.S. Senate Budget Committee reached an agreement on a $3.5 trillion. Break out the printing presses, start up the auctions, let's sell more bonds to China on a human infrastructure investment. Human infrastructure, that's what they're calling it. It is another name for a $3.5 trillion package. The price tag falls short of the $6 trillion package previously sought by progressives. See, if somebody says $6 trillion and $3.5 doesn't seem so bad, it's in line with President Biden's $4 trillion economic agenda. Well, more spending on the way. Powell is going to testify today. Fed Chairman Jerome Powell is in the hot seat today, but he's already kind of tipped his hat at what he will be saying, and that has helped the markets here so far this morning. But he's headed to Congress for his semi-annual testimony on monetary policy. Well, we'll get an update there on monetary policy. In the meantime, we wait for an update on fiscal policy, as the current administration continues to try to sell a minimum 15% global tax. 15 seems to be a big number. They want $15 minimum wage, and they want a 15%, which is a lot more than $15, minimum global corporate tax. And, of course, today, I'm sure they'll be grilling Powell on inflation and the PPI and what he plans to do with interest rates and how he plans to support the economy. Now, remember, he is the odd man out, the odd person out in this current administration. He's one of the remaining Republicans. And he drives the bus at the Fed, but I got a hunch that Janet Yellen carries a lot of weight around the Biden administration as it relates to economic policies. This is Bill Gunderson. Is inflation here? Well, here's what Goldman Sachs has to say when we come back. Back here to the second quarter of the Best Stocks Now show. Dow up 115 right now. S&P up 17. The Dow is right at 35,000. There it goes back above it for just an instant. 35,001. Now it's backing off again and it's battle for 35,000. The NASDAQ up about 100 points here today on cooling, on soothing talk. Soothing, dovish talk from the Fed this morning after a hotter-than-expected CPI report yesterday and PPI report today, and Goldman Sachs says it's real. David Solomon, who ought to know a little bit about the economy and inflation, etc., he's the CEO of Goldman Sachs. He says there's no question that inflation has ticked up recently. And we're watching it very, very closely with indications of rising cost for both labor and items in companies' supply chains, no doubt about it. And, of course, that would cut into earnings for companies. So, yes, it is a big thing to watch. It would also dampen the consumer. With less buying power on the things we buy because things cost more. So we'll continue to watch this. Goldman Sachs reported earnings yesterday. How did David Solomon do as CEO? You know what? The stock's hitting 378, up a little bit. The bank stocks really have been soft recently. The bank stocks run contrary. They have an inverse relationship with the treasury yield. As yields have come down recently, the banks have been dull. The banks really got hot in late February and March of this year as interest rates spiked higher for several weeks in a row. But now they've calmed back down, and the banks have calmed down also. The U.S. government's year-to-date deficit, it narrowed from 2020's massive spending. The U.S. government spent $174 billion more than it brought in June, bringing the government's fiscal year-to-date deficit. We're just at $2.24 trillion, a little over halfway through the year, but that's better than last year at this time, which was in the thick of the COVID-19 crisis, a lot of money being thrown at that. We were at a deficit of $2.74 trillion last year at this time. We're only at $2.24 trillion this year so far, year to date. Now, I talk a lot about the cryptocurrencies on a daily basis. It's a very topical subject. A lot of people, almost everybody I talk to, ask me about cryptocurrencies. What do you think about them? A lot of people invested in them. A lot of people have made a lot of money in them. A lot of people have lost a lot of money in them. They're really a big question mark as you really wonder about the intrinsic value. Well, you could say that about, you know, the U.S. dollar and any fiat currency for that matter. But without the backing of the government or central banks around the world, it's definitely an obstacle. Now, the ECB is making a big move towards their own digital euro, saying better than Bitcoin. Well, you know what? I've been saying that this is the biggest risk that the digital currencies have, is governments and central banks around the world creating their own to compete. And with the backing of the government and the central banks, then you're going to get institutional participation. Big mutual funds and money managers and pension funds and ETFs, etc. Whereas you're not getting that right now. The institutions are shying away big time from these current batch of cryptos. The Governing Council of the European Central Bank has decided today to launch the investigation phase of a digital euro. Now, I've been saying this for a long time, okay? And you can say, well, you know what? Gunderson was right again. Gunderson was right again. that is a big, big threat to the cryptos. We know that China already has their own, and you saw the war that China declared on Bitcoin, thrashing it, cutting it in half, going after the Bitcoin miners, running them out of the country. Will the ECB be next as they look to develop their own digital currency? And I think it's inevitable. Someday you'll say Gunderson was right again, that the U.S. will have some form of a digital currency also, because it can be tracked better. Taxes can be collected more efficiently for the government. You know, money laundering, all kinds of things probably with the blockchain technology can be tracked better. And believe me, governments love to track. Norwegian Cruise Line sues Florida official over vaccine proof. Now, that's a weird fight going on. Norwegian Cruise Lines wants a proof of vaccine to get on one of their ships. That's their policy. And Florida says, you're not going to do that here. So there's the battle. Yesterday we talked about France and them now requiring a proof of vaccine to get into bars, restaurants, theaters, hotels, airplanes, etc. That's France. France is leading out in this effort. Will others follow? Well, that remains to be seen, but Norwegian Cruise Line suing Florida. They want proof of vaccine, and Florida says no. Lithium in Ogden, Utah? Well, Compass Minerals, which mines salt for the roads, yeah, in the wintertime, they need a lot of salt on the roads up there to keep them from freezing. Compass Minerals, CMP, has found a 2.4 million metric ton lithium carbonate equivalent of its active solar evaporation site near Ogden, Utah. Well, the company says it's targeting annual production capacity of 20 to 25,000 metric tons of battery-grade lithium. So you got a new player kind of finding lithium by accident in their salt mines, Compass Minerals, CMP. They've been around for a long time. I've always had a hard time investing in a salt miner, you know. But now they've got lithium to sweeten the pot a little bit. Is lithium the new crude? Kathy Woods unloads Chinese stock names. Well, I unloaded them a long time ago. She rides stocks a lot further down than I do. On Tuesday, ARK Investment dumped 200,000 shares of JD.com, 1.45 million shares of Huya, and over 350,000 shares of Tencent Holdings. Maybe it's time to buy right now. Those stocks, they try every single day. Like today, they're having a pretty good day, but overall, they remain in just horrible downtrends as China has declared war on capitalism within China. Crazy. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the second half of the Best Stocks Now. Well, we've lost quite a bit of the wind out of the sails of the market right now. The Dow, which was above 35,000 there for a while, is still up 73, but it's at 34,961. The Russell 2000 small caps have now gone negative. The S&P's up 11, and the NASDAQ, which was up 100, now up just 53 points. So, we're losing a little bit of steam here. We'll see if we can pick up that momentum again or if it's going to continue to flow. Momentum is a fleeting thing. You know, it comes and it goes. Well, who watched the All-Star game last night? It seemed to be the Fernando Tatis Jr. show. El Nino, who is a San Diego Padre. We've never had a star like this with swag. I mean, he's got it all. Dresses to the nines, everything. The kids love him. He is really a star out there, a burgeoning star. Well, the All-Star game lived up to expectations. It's never a very good game. You know, pitching just seems to dominate all those great hitters. And A-Rod, yeah, you know, I've got mixed feelings about A-Rod, but he's got a SPAC, an all-star IPO. Is that what this could be? A-Rod Slam SPAC. That's the symbol. Slam is said to be in talks to take Italy's Panini Group public. No, we're not talking ham and cheese paninis. We're talking a company out of Italy that does sports memorabilia, sports stickers, cards, other collectibles, public. The deal is set to value the combined company at least $3 billion. Well, A-Rod's going to do okay on this deal. Will the retail investors ever do well on it? I don't think so. We got another one coming public today, Wheels Up. Well, we're kind of getting to the bottom of the barrel here with these IPOs. They're going to combine with a SPAC that's already out there, ASPL. Wheels Up is like, you know, you can buy a membership and you need a private jet to land here and pick you up, take you somewhere. That's what Wheels Up does. Goldman Sachs, you know, when they talk, they do move stocks. I was just looking. I've probably looked at 300 or 400 charts here so far today. There's the breakout of the day so far. Lulu, you remember Lulu, Lululemon, one of the great consumer stocks of all time. They have a brand that people demand and will pay up for. They also have subscriptions to their Lulu. What is it? Mirror. Where you watch somebody and they get you jumping and hopping up and down while you're listening to Best Stocks Now show. Lululemon leads the list of Goldman Sachs apparel stock recommendations. Well, you know what? Of all of the retail or consumer discretionary stocks, I do own a few right now. Lululemon's a good one. It's now a $50 billion market cap company. Breakout of the day, Goldman Sachs talks, investors listen. Okay, earnings season. It's all about the banks this week. Next week it'll get a little more exciting. Bank of America, earnings helped by recovery and positive tax adjustment. Bank of America, Merrill Lynch, that's a horrible chart. That's an awful chart on that stock. Bank of America, BSA. The big banks just have not been very good. They're fighting low interest rates, a lot of competition, and let's not forget the fintech disruptors, the PayPals and the Squares and the others out there that have disrupted this industry and will continue to be disrupted. Another soggy stock, Citigroup, beats by 88 cents. Well, that's all good. They're beating earnings, and that's going to flow into the S&P 500 expectations for this year, next year, and the year after that. Citigroup, very boring stock. Soggy, it's basically flat after their earnings report. And Wells Fargo, which has misfired for years, even so much that even a buy and hold guy like Warren Buffett started selling off his Wells Fargo stock. There's another soggy one. Over the last 5 years, their earnings have been going backwards by 14% per year. They never really did overcome their big scandal of opening all of those illegal accounts, forging names and things like this, you know, or getting people to sign things that they didn't know they were signing. Wells Fargo down a dime today after really exciting earnings there. But they did beat by 40 cents, and of course that will flow into S&P 500 earnings. So thank you, Wells Fargo, Bank of America, Citigroup for nothing. Delta Airlines, you know, there's one of the worst groups in the entire market. The airlines obviously were bought up like crazy coming out of COVID. They ran this stock up to $52 per share. Delta's going to lose $10.76. Well, that's what they lost in 2020. They're going to narrow that gap to a loss of $3.83 this year. Hopefully by next year they'll make $4.13 at 10 times earnings. It should be worth about $41. That's where it's trading now, and the chart continues to break down and look ugly. Boy, remember when the green energy stocks, right after Biden was elected, you had a real huge run. I even got in on some of those stocks like Canadian Solar and Daco Energy and Plug Power. I made a good profit in Plug Power, which is hydrogen. Those stocks have really fallen apart here recently. Plug Power announces a partnership. They're really the biggest green hydrogen company out there is Plug. But the stock is just plugging along, not doing so hot. It's a $15 billion company, but has never made a penny in the way of profits. Another stock to keep your eye on, it's the Amazon of South Korea. We've talked about this one before. I keep my eye on it. Coupang. CPNG. Now, they went public, and they were doing okay. And then all of a sudden, they had a big fire at one of their big distribution plants, lost a lot of goods, cost them a lot of money, looking for a settlement of some kind from the insurer. They are starting to kind of get it together here. It's been public since at $35 per share in March of this year. They went public at a bad time. It ran up to $80 per share. Now it's back to $44 per share. They're not profitable yet, but their sales growth has been phenomenal. CPNG, we're going to keep our eye on it. It's in the news today. They're starting a new business segment. And then a hot stock that I got to mention here. I own the stock, big position here. And right now it is ranked at number, it's really moved up in rank, number 78 out of 5,053 after a pretty wicked sell-off in February and March. Apple has come storming back. It's hitting a new all-time high today, $2.48 trillion. By contrast, Amazon's puny, $1.8 trillion. Boy, I'll tell you, Apple has taken a huge lead here over Amazon in the trillionaire race. So much for Bezos and Richard Branson, you know, the billionaires race. This is the trillionaires race. Apple hitting a new all-time high again today. Pays a dividend yield, and it's getting a upgrade. Citigroup boosts the estimates on their buy-rated Apple after citing strong end-market demand for PCs, smartphones, and wearables. Take their target price to $170. Apple is currently at $149. So that's pretty good. Citigroup thinks it's going to 170. What is my five-year target price? I do five-year target prices. I come up with a five-year target price of 262. All right. Well, is tomorrow Thursday already? Tomorrow, yes. I'll start working on the newsletter again. You know, this is going to be an interesting earnings season because it's going to have a lot to say about the future of this market, whether it continue to march on. After 13 years of bull, get 2 free weeks of the newsletter at GundersonCapital.com. We'll be back with our featured stock of the day.
You gotta go where you wanna go. Do what you wanna go.
We've had a pretty good up move in the market since the last break. We're up 75 this time on the NASDAQ, up 100 on the Dow. The interest rates have really dropped. I can't believe it. 1.36 now. We were at 1.43. I guess Jerome Powell is saying the words that Wall Street wants to hear. All right, well, our featured stock of the day is going to come from the reflation side of the market. It's been quite a fight, quite a tug-of-war between the reflation stocks, which tend to be more cyclicals, more value-type, industrial, boring type of companies. But if that's where the action is on a relative basis, that's where the action is. And, of course, they've been dueling with the tech stocks, mainly the big tech, FANG stocks, and duking it out. The tech stocks held sway for the first few months of this year. Then reflation stocks came along, took over. Then the tech stocks came storming back. And right now it's kind of head and head. I think there's got to be a combination, kind of a mix. Well, one of the reflation stocks that I continue to own, and it's currently ranked at number, what would I do without my rankings? 166 out of 5,853. So consider this. Out of 5,853 different securities in my database today, I'm only looking at about 500 of them today on the ranking scale. Only 500 are B plus or better. That means I don't have to look at 5,350. Well, that'll save some eyesight and migraine headache, you know, along the way. So the ranking system really comes in handy as far as narrowing down the universe. So we begin with a stock that's 166. Now we look at the momentum of the stock. The momentum is good. Over the last 3 months, Vale, Vale is up 23%, while the S&P 500 is up 6%. That's what we call alpha. Vale is performing better than the S&P 500. Right now it gets a momentum grade of B+. Now, in the Investors Business Daily, their relative strength number is 90 on a scale of 1 to 99. Now, the stock is, that's a nice breakout today, but it's got to get through 24. It's got to get through 23, actually, for it to be an official breakout to new all-time highs, but it's been flirting with that for quite some time. It's at 22.84 right now, just 16 cents away from that breakout point. With good relative strength. Okay, relative strength is one thing. Valuation is another thing. We got to look at the valuation. P.E. ratio, 10.5. Very low. It is a commodity stock. You know, Vale is a Brazilian company engaged in the mining and exploration of minerals in Brazil and 5 other countries. They're a very diversified mining company with a lot of industrial metals in the mix. And I think there's some lithium in the mix also. The forward P.E. ratio is just 6, which is extremely low. Yes, commodity stocks trade at lower multiples, but 6 is extremely low. The growth rate out there on the street is 33.6. I mean, if you cut that in half, you've still got a dirt cheap PEG ratio. And the dividend yield on Vail, I'm showing 6.9%. Well, it's pretty hard not to like it, isn't it? We own Vail in our premier growth portfolio. Now, this is me trying to put the very best stocks in each portfolio on the field at any given point in time and try to, hold those stocks for as long as I possibly can. Now, there were some changes, pretty big turnover in my portfolios back in February of this year as the market moved away from the high speed, high growth, high PE stuff into more of this area of the market. And I moved into stocks that I haven't owned for a long, long time. But that's also the beauty of being unconstrained and being able to go where I need to go when I want to go there, right? Vail is currently A-plus value grade, B-plus momentum grade, and overall it comes in at 166 out of 5,853. We'll make Vail our featured stock of the day. Well, we're still planning our Minnesota trip. We're looking at the last 2 weeks, somewhere in that time frame of August. Oh, I know you're out fishing and you're at the lake house in August. But I haven't been there for a long time. I'd like to make 2 trips to Minneapolis between now and the end of the year. So if I do an August trip, I can come back and maybe go ice fishing in November. Okay? And we'll be going there, and I'll be doing a workshop. I'll be teaching things about the market at that point in time. And also meeting with folks that would like more information about our money management services here that I offer, my portfolios through Southport Capital. But you can do also a complete plan. You know, we have people that have very large portfolios and they don't want everything in the market or in bonds. And obviously there's a lot more out there for folks like that that we can talk about, you know, when we get together with you. A good place to start is the newsletter, which I've been doing for 21 years. I've been right about the market for the last 13 since 2009. If that's not enough reason to get the newsletter, I don't know what is. You can get 2 free weeks, see the kind of stocks, see what's on my all-star team right now in the various portfolios that I run. You can go to our website at GundersonCapital.com, GundersonCapital.com, to get 2 free weeks of the newsletter. And if you'd like to set up an appointment, we do a lot of appointments over the telephone. That's a good place to start, just to kind of get a general idea of what you're looking for, what you're looking to do. You can call us at 855-611-BEST. That's 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.